Hello, and welcome to Viewpoints, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
I'm Pete.
And I'm Samantha. You'll recognize me from introducing the show each week, but for this show, I'm going to try my hand at singing. Here I go.
I'm in the mood for love. Simply because you're near me. Funny, but when you're near me, I'm in the mood for love.
In case you can't guess, on today's show, we'll be talking about, well, kind of love. Dating and Beyond, we're calling the show. We've got an interview with a blind couple in New York City, and we'll be telling some of our own dating stories, of course. And then, you know, if the dating goes well, a couple often wants to set up house together, and then there's some relatively mundane chores that need to get taken care of, and we'll be talking about some of those as well. But turning first to our tip of the week. You know, if you're looking for somebody to date and you're visually impaired, you might think that that would pose special obstacles. But, you know, in the 2000s, there are all sorts of other options. And in particular, online dating services can be your friend. We've been married for 27 and something years, and we're not personally very familiar with these dating services in any event. If I were, I wouldn't admit it with Pete sitting next to me. But we have a number of friends and some relatives who have connected with their partners this way, and they all speak very highly of it. And it's sure a whole lot more convenient and pleasant than going through want ads or sitting in smoky bars. And, you know, if you're visually impaired and you've got reasonable facility with a computer, you can interact just like everybody else does on the online dating services. You know, it's all computer interaction. And if you're worried, what's someone going to think about me because I can't see? Well, you don't even have to tell them at the beginning.
Yeah, it reminds me of the story we did a previous show on meeting and dating, and Glenn and Jan had met on a radio talk show. And basically, they connected because of their mutual interest. You know, they liked interacting with each other, and the blindness didn't come up until they were kind of hooked on each other. And I think you'll see a similar story today from the people who were interviewed for this show.
Right. And when it comes time to actually meet in person and they say, well, how will I recognize you, you know, standing at this corner? You say, oh, well, I'm the one with the white cane. Sometimes it really helps if you've got enough love, because we're going to be talking about some stuff that nobody really likes to do.
But not all of marriage is bliss, right?
That's right. That was the Beatles. Thank you very much. Cleaning the house. You set up house together. You live in it for more than a week or two. You got to clean it.
Who thought of that when you first got married?
Oh, yeah. We never talked about that when right. We were dating. Although you did help me wash my car when
That's true. He was
wooing me. Oh, and he was really determined. He even helped wash the car. So my attitude towards cleaning the house is, if someone else is willing to clean the bathroom, I'm happy to do anything else.
So that usually winds up being my task. Actually, I like cleaning the bathrooms. For me, that's a job where everything is well located. There isn't a big space to clean. It isn't as loud as some of the other activities that we'll talk about later on, like vacuuming. My most horrible job that I really despise is vacuuming. And you wouldn't think that's so bad, because it's, you know, easy to do if you're organized about it. If you just vacuum in a pattern, do a couple of feet in a rectangle, then make the rectangle a little bit bigger. So it can be done. But being blind, I just hate all the noise, because I don't have any input coming from my eyes. And then once the vacuum cleaner turns on, it just overwhelms any input I can get from my ears. And there isn't a whole lot left besides feeling this vacuum moving back and forth.
All right, Nancy's going to start turning on the vacuum cleaner.
Hmm.
That's it. I'm out of here. Bye. That's better. Now I can hear myself.
And here he is doing his assigned half of the cleaning.
Here's the part that most people think is nasty, but I don't mind so much. Cleaning the toilets. At least it's a little quieter. Well, most of the time it's pretty quieter.
But I can actually listen to the radio or something else while I'm doing the bathroom. You can't do that easily while listening to a vacuum cleaner.
Of course, another solution is to hire someone else to clean the house. We've done that when we both hurt our shoulders, for example, and we weren't able to do the heavy housework. We hired somebody else. And I've got a tip for you here, too. No matter how nice the person is who's cleaning your house, no matter how many times you tell them you're blind, it's just not going to register. They do their job as efficiently as they can. And what that means is that everything they need is going to end up right in the highest traffic part of the house, right in the hub. For us, this was at the bottom of the stairs, sometimes at the top of the stairs. And you'll find buckets and vacuum cleaners and all sorts of stuff in places where you're most likely to want to walk through.
The place can become a house of horrors for me when the cleaners were around.
We used to make sure to leave the house. You know, you hire someone, you trust them. They've got access to all your stuff. You can't be following them around the house anyway. So we would just leave them some money and walk out the door. And when we'd come back home, the house would be smelling all lemony fresh. It was just so nice. Now, an intermediate solution is you buy one of these
Roomba
devices, you know.
From iRobot. The Roomba actually comes in two different models. They make one that is for hardwood floors and tile floors and things like that. And then they make another one that vacuums rugs. And basically, this thing is a little robot that marches around the room and vacuums a room. I hear they don't do so well with corners, so you may want to do some touch-up later on. But they're aware of stairs and won't fall off stairs and things like that. And they can be pretty handy. I think they run probably between $300, $400, $500, $600 or so, depending on the model you get.
Last autumn, I was out and about, and I saw somebody had one of these similar type devices out cutting their grass.
Now, that's a little scarier. I wouldn't want to run into that one. But there
Either.
Is other yard work to be done out in the suburbs. And, you know, come fall, we have a lot of trees in our backyard, and we like to get outside for a little exercise and fresh air and to collect the leaves. And occasionally, I would go out there. Usually, we go out together. But occasionally, I'd go out there alone. And in a big lot, I would get a little disoriented sometimes. And there was once I was out there, and the windows were closed to the house, and the door was closed. And I was out there, and I couldn't figure out where the house was. And what were we going to do? Yell? I mean, all the neighbors were inside. It was cold. It was autumn. And so I've learned to take a cell phone with me since, when I'm on these little wanderings out into the woods. And that way I can just call for help and say, hey, I'm out here in the woods. Where am I?
And I also, when I'm outside without Pete, I'll take the cell phone with me, because if he's looking for me, I could be in any direction. And by the time he gets around the house looking for me, I could have moved to somewhere he already looked and he can't find me. So the cell phone can be a big help.
It had to be you. It had to be you. I wandered around and finally found the somebody who could make me be true.
Thank you, Frank Sinatra. So we'll be talking about actually meeting and dating, and we interviewed Steve and Marilyn, who are living in Manhattan. As you'll hear, Steve is totally blind, and Marilyn also has a significant visual impairment. So here they are telling their story.
Can you maybe tell us a little bit about your visual impairment?
My visual impairment is I'm congenitally blind. Not totally, but near as such. I lost what little vision I had when I was 18. I had glaucoma undetected for about 5 or 6 years. And one morning when I was in school, I woke up and the lights were off. And I said, hey, fellas, want to turn the lights on? They said, it's a bright, sunny day. We don't need a light. So I knew I was in trouble.
Is there a description for yours, Marilyn?
Congenital cataracts.
Ah.
Cataracts, as you, I'm sure you know, is a disease that old people usually get, but some babies are born with it. Nowadays, cataract surgery is something that they do in the doctor's office, and they give you an artificial lens, which replaces the one that you had, and you could pretty much have normal vision. But when I had it, they just removed the lens, and all they did was they gave you magnifying glasses. So, you know, it's weird because right now I'm working as a substitute teacher, and the kids, you know, they think like I'm from Mars. How did you meet?
Well, we met as a result of Marilyn was a student.
I was a student in his class.
She was a student in my very first class when I was teaching at Brewer College in May of 89.
You know, he's got just a fantastic personality, and I was attracted to him very quickly.
We were actually both attracted to each other very quickly, but neither one of us knew anything about it until the end of class.
Was this kind of mutual?
It was, but we didn't know that until later.
I just knew he was an incredibly nice guy that I really wanted to get to know better. We also had a lot of stuff in common, and we knew some people in common. People who had mentioned me to him, and people who...
had heard of me.
Yeah, exactly. And we also both had a tremendous love for animals.
Oh, yes.
And Steve had a guide dog that I used to sneak playing with under the table, which was not a good thing to do because you're really not supposed to play with a working guide dog. But I you know, it just became like a joke between us.
The sugar was good. She dealt with it.
One day, he happened to have been working late, and I was on my way to this class, and there was a footbridge, one had a cross.
Over the entrance tunnel to... the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel.
And we met on the bridge, and we had, how long did we talk? About an hour and a half or so?
We were standing there on this footbridge, just talking. Two people walking by, going both directions.
And you just ran into each other accidentally.
Yeah, he had no idea that I would, that was the night that I went to class, and I didn't know that he was there.
Oh, how funny. How much longer after that was it?
One day we decided that we were going to meet and have a bite to eat before my class, and we're laughing because it was a disaster. It was horrible. We were looking for this place, and then finally we find the place, and they have no menu.
And they were about to close.
They were about to close.
I had no idea.
And it was the kind of place where everything was like organic, vegetarian. And I didn't know what I was looking at, so they said, yeah, we'll serve you if you tell us what you want. And neither of us knew what was available.
Well, it can't have gone too badly. You're still talking to each other.
After 22 years, yeah.
I gather neither one of you drives. How do you guys get around?
Subway and bus.
In Manhattan, it's not always an asset to have a car. The trick is when you have to leave the city...
So I hear the dog in the background once in a while. Are you still using a guide dog, Steve?
Oh, no. The dog in the background
is not a guide dog.
He's a 20-pound bundle of love. He is a Chinese pug.
He's a pet.
You're both using canes then, or what?
Oh, no. Marilyn doesn't need any travel aids. So I'm the one that needs the travel aids.
Yeah, but sometimes I have enough vision to get me into trouble because I go the wrong way a lot, and it's hard sometimes.
So can you guys talk a little bit about when you were dating? Were there any particular issues that were brought up by the vision problems of either of you or how you interacted?
Steve and I have always been very comfortable with each other. And there was a point where I became so comfortable with him that I didn't even realize or really think about the fact that he was blind. And we went into a local diner, and they had these desserts on display. And, you know, we love our food and we love desserts. And I said to Steve, look over there. Look at those beautiful cakes. And he's like, I'm blind. I can't see it.
That is my favorite line. If I could, I would.
when you decided that your relationship would become a little bit more permanent and that you would wind up being a pair, was there any discussion about having two people in the family having vision problems and how that might lead to some issues or things that you might have to think about?
I had a lot of issues with my family. Right now, my family consists of one person, my sister. She and her husband just, they did not accept.
I don't think they have to this day.
Yeah, unfortunately. My sister and I had always been close, but then when Steve and I started getting together, it became very clear that we would not be welcome in their home anymore because her husband couldn't deal with the blindness issue.
That was a real, no pun intended, eye-opener for me.
Yeah, wow. I mean, we've never run into that. I mean, we've gotten plenty of stupid comments and stupid questions, but we've never run into anybody who restricted access or whatever the right term is.
Well, I don't know what the deal is with the brother-in-law, but I can tell you with my sister-in-law, I know the culture that she comes from, and Marilyn's parents have always been always the best for her and nothing else to do, and that's very laudable and very fine, but the fact of the matter is that people do have imperfections. Some of them are just more visible and obvious than others.
Do you guys have any particularly funny stories that might be of interest to our listeners that involve your vision or how you hooked up?
We went out on a date once to a Chinese restaurant. We both love Oriental food, and it came to the end of the meal. And I am very used to my friends letting me sort of take over, and if I need something, I'll ask for it. They won't, force information on me. I'll figure it out. So the end of the meal comes, and the fortune cookies come. And you put one on my plate, and you gave me the other, and you proceeded to open mine, and you were about to crack it open and take the fortune out and read it to me. What? I meant this as a joke, but it turned out it wasn't very jocular. I said to her, you gonna eat it for me too?
That didn't go over too well, huh?
Like a lead balloon. But it was funny, we laugh about it now.
Well, it sounds like you guys have worked out most of your issues and have gotten along very well together for many years then.
That's what that.
In spite of a fortune cookie.
Yeah, right.
And the relatives.
Right. Well, you know what they say, you can pinch your friends, but you can't pinch your relatives.
That's a fact.
Well, you know, every once in a while, something will happen, and Pete will turn to me and say, you know, it's just like the fortune cookie story. When I'm trying to do him a favor that I didn't ask about first, and he didn't actually want me to do him that particular favor, it's just like the fortune cookie, Nancy. So we've made great use of this interview since we initially recorded it.
Well, you're always very nice to me and trying to be kind and considerate. And every once in a while, I think, boy, I was going to do that myself. But you are nice and you have nice intents.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
So one other favor, if you will, that I've taken to doing for Pete is, you know, you go out on a date. What's the first thing you think to do on a date?
Let's go to the movies.
Right. Dinner and a movie. And, you know, so many people turn to Pete and say, well, why would you go to a movie if you can't see it?
Good question. I usually tell them that's how I deal with real life. I mean, I can't see real life, and it's no different from a movie.
And besides, they do have those Foley mixers who really give you a lot of pointers about what's going on.
Does anybody know what a Foley mixer is?
Well, we talked about it on a previous show, so if they were paying attention.
That's true. Those are the guys that make all the sound effects in movies.
But every once in a while, there's a subtitled movie, and those are special challenges if you can't see.
Boy, this brings me back to graduate school, and one evening a bunch of us were looking for something to do, and someone said, boy, there's a movie, we can go see Groucho Marx or go see The King of Hearts. And I love Groucho Marx, but I figured I've seen all his movies, and so I agreed with everybody else to go to The King of Hearts. Well, it turns out it was subtitled. A few years later, when I was in New York visiting some friends, they said, boy, it's this great movie I'd like to take you to, The King of Hearts, it's playing in town. I said, forget it. I did that in graduate school. It's subtitled. I don't want to see it. No. This is the English version. It has Alan Bates in it. You sure? Yeah, okay. So we went to the movie. Sure enough, it was subtitled.
Well, I'd heard that story. And we were in some little tiny town in Pennsylvania for some reason. And we're walking around before dinner. And I see on the marquee, King of Hearts. I said, Pete, I'm taking you to see The King of Hearts. He says, but it's in French. It's got subtitles. I said, I know that. I've seen this movie. I've heard your story. It's hysterical. I will read the subtitles to you. And so we had a nice, well, it was probably a pizza for dinner or whatever. And we went to the movie and we sit down in this otherwise empty theater. And sure enough, a couple of couples walk in and, you know, two, three couples later, someone sits down right next to us.
In an empty theater. Why would they sit next to us?
And I turned to them. I said, look, it's nothing personal. We're going to move because I'm going to be reading the subtitles to him because he's blind. And we don't want to bother you. And they said, but it's in English. It's got Alan Bates in it. And we're like, no, it's in French. It's subtitled. And they're like, no, no, no. So we moved. They went out to the box office to ask. And as they were getting the information, a few other people came wandering into the theater. And
who do they sit next to?
10 or 20 couples later, somebody sits right next to us. And of course, the first couple had come back in and informed everybody who had been there at the time that, yes, it was subtitled. And so this couple sits next to us. And I said, look, we already moved once. We just want to let you know. We don't want to bother you. I'm going to be reading the subtitles. And if that's going to bother you, you can move because we already moved. And they're like, no, it's in English. It's got Alan Bates. And the whole theater erupted and they all said in unison, no, it's in French.
It was a good movie. Thank you.
It was a great movie.
I enjoyed it.
If you can find somebody to read the subtitles to you, it's worth it. And so we actually, since then, have sometimes gone to subtitled movies on purpose, and that's fine. Or even better still, we'll rent the DVD and watch it at home, and then I can read the subtitles and be sure I'm not bothering anybody. Well, that was the Turtles, and they're happy, we're happy, but you still have to take care of the rest of the chores. So this week's high-tech item is paying the bills electronically instead of getting them on paper and dealing with checks. If you ask, some companies actually have the capability to mail you their bills in Braille or large print, and it's always worth asking. Pete kind of finessed the whole issue by letting me take care of the bills, and so we've never availed ourselves of this service, but I understand that a number of companies will send you bills in either Braille or large print. And that's nice, you know, if you want to do it yourself, you don't want to rely on somebody else. Another thing you can do is most companies will send you their bill via email, and we get almost all of our bills via email, the various department stores, the cable bill, we get most of our bills sent as an email note. And so if you've got computer access and whatever you have, either screen magnification or a screen reader or however you deal with the computer, then you can also read the bills. Well, now you have to pay them. So we belong to our local credit union and they've got online banking. I would be very surprised if there were any banks left that didn't have online banking available. As I said, I pay all the bills, so I've never tried it with a screen reader because I can see. But it's very easily laid out. It's very easy to navigate. You can tab around. So I assume it works pretty easily with a screen reader. And, you know, if you don't like the interface that one bank provides, switch to a different bank until you find one with an interface that you like. The other thing that we've done is we've set up a number of our accounts to just get paid automatically, either directly out of the bank account or get charged to our charge card. Now, you get a bill from the power company every month. You have to pay it every month. Doesn't really matter how big it is. You still have to pay the thing. So, you know, the bill comes, I get an email notice telling me how much it is, and the money leaves the checking account, and I don't have to do anything. Certain other bills, like my gym membership or the cable bill, we get an email note saying, you know, this is the money we're going to take, and it gets put directly on the credit card. So this is very easy. You know, you can just trust in the system, verify, obviously, because, you know, you don't want to have a big mistake that's not in your favor, and just let the money go to these places where you know it needs to go every month.
There are a lot more options these days, especially with computers and electronic means that Nancy talked about, than when I was living on my own. I used to do all this with a closed-circuit TV system and try to balance my checkbook. And
you did not try to balance your checkbook.
All right, so it's a little bit of a white lie. You know, being a physicist, I sort of kept the order of magnitude balance in my head. And just coming from graduate school, I was making a lot more money than I could spend, so it wasn't a problem.
He just made sure to keep enough of a buffer so that he didn't run out. And, you know, these days all the banks offer overdraft protection, and they let you know eventually that they've done you this favor and you've incurred the charge, and so you contact the bank and say, okay, look, can you move some money from here to there and stop paying the charges? But the overdraft protection is very convenient.
And the other great way of keeping track of your finances is with Quicken on a computer. And most of the screen readers come with scripts that are specially customized for Quicken, so you can actually use this with a screen reader.
And there are other manufacturers as well, not just Quicken. There's Money.
Yeah, I don't know if Microsoft still makes that.
I don't know. Some of our friends still use it. It might be 10 years old. Quicken, my frustration is like every time I turn around, they want to update it. And, you know, really, I've got one that works. I don't want to update it. But you do have to update once in a while, because if you get too far behind, then that's not so good either. But just because you can't see doesn't mean you can't pay your own bills. How nice. Before we wrap up this week's show, we'd like to give a great big thank you to Ross McGregor from Tamworth, Australia. That's 500 kilometers northwest of Sydney, for all the help he gave us putting together that clip of Samantha singing I'm in the Mood for Love. So thank you, Ross. On next week's show, we'll be talking about getting and listening to audiobooks, etc., with a particular focus on Recording for the Blind and Dyslexic, which has recently changed its name to the Learning Ally. We'll also be talking about Audiophile, which is a great magazine for people who like audio books, and how to rip a CD on your computer so that you can listen to it on some other player instead of on a full-fledged CD player. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to reachout@wxxi.org or call us at area code 585-258-0333. We'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Viewpoints, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. This program was hosted by Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey. We hope you'll join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show by going to our website at wxxi.org/reachout and clicking on the podcast's link. Thanks for listening to Viewpoints, and have a nice day.